Welcome to the Health Ranger Report on Brighteon.tv. Today we've got a really special interview with Lyman Bishop from HoplightArmor.com, and we get to geek out today because I ask him a lot of technical questions about how body armor works, what is it effective against, and how can we make it really lightweight? What are the advances that now make it a lot more lightweight than the old steel plates? In fact, some of the new polymers and the layers and the laminates that are used, they're buoyant. These body armor plates actually float in water. I mean, they kind of have a life jacket effect a little bit. Not that they should be used as a life jacket, but I mean, if you drop them in water, they won't sink. They will float, some of them. Certain kinds of formulations of these plates. But Lyman Bishop he's an engineer. He's incredibly well-informed. He designs these plates that are made in America in all different kinds of sizes and shapes and to protect different parts of the body as well. So that interview, straight ahead. Stay with us. All right, welcome to today's featured interview. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com. And as you know, I'm very much a prepper, and I try to encourage people and teach about personal protection, self-defense, survival, just preparedness for the craziness that's happening in our time. And we've seen Antifa kind of ramping up attacks and, you know, quote, peaceful protests and shooting at police and things like that. And we have a huge spike in interest among even non-police and non, quote, tactical people in how to be safe and how to have personal protection gear, including ballistic gear. And so our guest today is Lyman Bishop. He's the founder of HoplightArmor.com, which is an occasional sponsor of our podcast. And the format today is I'm going to ask him some questions about some of the trends, and he's going to share some stories about some of the calls that he's received, which should answer many questions that some of you might have. And then at the end, he's got a super special, unprecedented discount code to share with you that is, I think, the best discount that he's ever offered. So, Mr. Lyman Bishop, it's an honor to have you on. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you very much, Mike. I do appreciate it. Like I said in the pre-taping discussion, one thing I like more than listening to your show is being on it. So thank you for having me.
Well, in this case, you get to do both. On it, and you can listen to the rest of it as well. But look, I love having you on because you are a U.S. designer, an engineer. You're educated as, I believe it was a mechanical engineer. Is that right?
Correct. That is correct, yes.
And you design and have manufactured in the United States these highly complex, multi-layered polymer plus ceramic plus other elements, these triple curve ballistic plates that I have come to love because for the protection they offer, they are the lightest things out there. And that's why I love your company, and I've heard a lot of great feedback from our customers. So thank you for doing what you're doing, and thank you for making it in America too, by the way.
Well, yes, certainly. I couldn't do it any other way.
Well, I appreciate your commitment to that because there is a lot of stuff out there that's nowhere near as good, but it's kind of hyped up. So
that is true.
Let's start with the premise that I kind of mentioned here in the intro. My understanding from a lot of people, customers and feedback I get is that there is a massive increase in interest among what I call non-tactical people. Mm-hmm. They're not military. They're not National Guard. They're not police. They're not even per se, you know, survivalists. They're just regular everyday folks that are concerned about gunfire because it keeps happening more and more in the cities. You're hearing from more and more people like that, are you not?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. In particular, I think as a direct result of your show and your having mentioned Hoplite Armor on your show so many times, I do tend to get a lot of phone calls from your listeners. And that's one thing I really enjoy is the opportunity to talk to people who don't even know where to start and to be able to walk them through some of the basics and give them a little bit of an education about materials and levels and configurations and at the same time hear their concerns and offer some advice along the way and as much as I can, even other than armor related. Lots of conversations about other ways to prep. You know, certainly personal protection is critical in preserving the things that you do to prep for yourself, but At a certain point, you know, you may have to defend those.
Yes.
Well, you know, self-sufficiency, really.
I think that people are seeing, I mean, we don't have to convince anybody at this point that the world is becoming more violent and more unpredictable. You know, turn on, I guess, TikTok on any given day and there's a beatdown at Walmart or some, you know, restaurant or a shooting in a right. cafe and or an armed robbery. It's everywhere. It's every day. Every weekend in Chicago, there's 20 or 30 people shot and killed. There was just over the last few days, there was, I guess, an Asian American guy in, I guess, kind of the Chinatown area or Monterey Park, California, shot 19 people, killed 10 or 11, and it was over a spat with his ex-wife. And these other people just on the dance floor, and suddenly there's gunfire in your direction. So this is happening all over America, sadly.
Sadly true, yes. It is becoming all too common. And I hear from a lot of people about their concerns regarding that. And I hear from some people who have witnessed some of these things firsthand. And it's sad to see. It's sad to see a nation as great as ours really sort of falling in on itself in so many different ways.
It is. But I also want to mention for the record that a firearm is used something like 40 times more frequently to stop a crime than to carry out a crime, right?
So very true.
I believe that if more Americans carried, you know, legally, carried concealed, we could stop more of these crimes. And most of these shootings happen in gun control areas, which in this case is true again.
But, right. No, absolutely.
But ballistic armor it's still legal in most of America for people to purchase and to wear. Now, in New York, I think it's illegal at this point, correct?
That's right, yeah.
But outside of New York, is it legal everywhere else in America?
It is. I read about a bill the other day in California, essentially looking to mirror what they did in New York. I've also read about, I believe it was a federal judge that was striking down some portion of the New York firearms law in particular as unconstitutional. My presumption is that they'll likely see the logic as it pertains to body armor as well, right? Yeah, I mean, the Second right. Amendment was... it's really armaments is perhaps a better translation of the intent behind the Second Amendment. It's not just arms, but you know, all of the tools required for self-defense, whatever they might be.
Well, right. And also just logically, although we can't expect Governor Hochul to understand this, body armor can't kill people.
Right.
So it can only stop bullets.
100%. Yeah, and there's really no logical reason why any state legislature or federal otherwise would in any way try to impede an individual's right to defend themselves.
Yeah.
In nonviolent ways. I mean, like you say, body armor, you can't hurt anybody with it unless you maybe you smack them on the head with it. But there's things that are far more efficient at that than an armor plate. So,
yeah, if you're running around trying to wallop people with body armor, there's something twisted in your mind.
No. Certainly. I mean,
you have other problems beyond your weapon choice.
That's right. Yes. Very, very true.
So share with us, if you would, please, obviously without giving out any names, we don't want to, yeah. You know, we want to protect the privacy of people, but share with us some stories, some true stories of what people have told you.
Well, you know, one thing I'll tell you, a phone call today, very encouraging. A woman called me, 70 years old. 5'2", you know, 115 pounds, little lady, but she's out there, you know, she can do 2 pull-ups, she told me, which I thought was really impressive. My it wife's is. The same size, and I don't know if she could do 2 palm forward pull-ups. And so it was encouraging to hear from, and I hear from so many different people from so many different walks of life. And it's encouraging to see that, as you say, you know, people who are not tactically minded, they're not, you know, overly into guns and tactical equipment. They just recognize the need to be safe. And it's good to see such a, you know, a broad cross-section of society recognizing that and taking steps to protect themselves, as you say, because there's such an increase in violence everywhere and with no sign of getting better, of course, right? So, you know, there's one story for you, you know, that I found encouraging.
Well, tell me though, what did she describe her particular fears or circumstances in which she thinks that she might be at risk, or what was?
Well, she's in a rural area. So, you know, her main concern is protecting the things that she's done to prepare for herself and her family, chickens, gardens, etc. In her words, you know, she's more concerned about the zombies, right? You know, and that term was meant to describe the mindless hordes of people who have not prepared in any way, shape, or form, and are going to have to confront the pending catastrophe head on without any preparations. And it's really those people that this woman in particular was preparing to protect herself against. And I thought that was a very wise approach, a very sound-minded perception of the world around her. And I hear very many stories similar of people. Mostly, I will say, I have heard from people in rural areas, but that's not to say that I don't hear from people in the cities. And I do want to remind everybody, by all means, feel free to call to ask any questions you have, because we really do try to take the time to walk people through this, give them a little bit of an education, help them understand materials and
Do you have a number that you can give out here?
Yes, yes. A very easy number, 855-ARMOR-01.
Oh, okay.
855-ARMOR-01. Very simple.
Okay.
Yeah, great. So they can call that. And I'm doing my best to answer as many phone calls as I can. But the other people that answer the line are likewise educated in these things. People tend to get me on the phone and keep me there for a while, because I really do genuinely enjoy the process of teaching people about these things, explaining it. You know, the less they know, the better, honestly, in some cases, because they don't have a head full of bad ideas.
Well, actually, yeah, let me start with a couple of basic questions for you that might help bring our audience up to speed. Explain, what's the difference between a single curve, a double curve, and a triple curve geometry on
yes.
the plate?
Okay, that's a good question. So single curve essentially means that the plate only bends in one direction, left to right. It's vertical otherwise. So for most people, that's obviously not going to be the best fit geometrically. It does, however, tend to cost less. And the reason that plate is only bent in a single direction is that it uses a lower grade ceramic that's only capable of bending in a single direction. So there's the pros and cons. It doesn't fit as well, but it costs less. It does do the same job. It'll stop the same threats, but it does tend to weigh a little more. And then, of course, the single curve, right, is not going to be ergonomic. We'll see.
And can I add that part of the problem with a single curve plate not exactly fitting correctly is you get these weird gaps, especially right. where your clavicle is. And then mm-hmm. when you have gaps, you get rubbing and you get blisters.
That's true. Yeah, right? That's very true.
So wherever that contacts your body, you have fewer contact points, so you get more friction on those contact points.
That's absolutely true. And the more contact points you have, the better that weight is distributed across yes. the body, and the lighter it feels, right?
Exactly.
So that is a very good point. And that's where the triple curve, or what we sometimes refer to as multi-curve plates, come in. And those tend to be considerably more ergonomic. They'll have a greater radius at the lower portion of the plate, where it meets up with the lower portion of the rib cage and the upper part of the abdomen. A little less curvature up towards the clavicle, and then in between it sort of, you know, morphs from one to the other. And that does tend to fit both the chest and the back, of course, much better than a single curve. And sufficient to, as you say, make good contact, prevent chafing, rubbing, etc., gaps. And it does also, with greater contact points, help distribute the weight over a larger area, which, of course, in turn reduces wear stress. And that is important.
And can I also add that if you actually take a round on this plate, you also want the greatest contact area with your body, because that's going to distribute the kinetic energy of the impact across a broader number of bones, where you're less likely to suffer a fracture underneath the plate, correct?
Mm-hmm. That is very true. Yes, absolutely. And the way that these plates work, essentially, when you've got a polymer ceramic composite, you've got a ceramic strike face and a polymer backer. One is stacked on top of the other. The polymer sits body side. The ceramic is the strike face. That's what gets hit first. And essentially the bullet fragments on impact, and that polymer material catches what's left. And that polymer material, having been made of a series of plies pressed under heat and pressure to form a cohesive plate, it uses the process of delamination to distribute that energy. And in so doing, it'll leave a little bit of a dimpling on the body side, which is what we call back face deformation.
Right.
And it's that energy, that back face deformation, that could conceivably cause some secondary injuries, of course, significantly less than they otherwise would be.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You don't have any holes in you, but you might have that's a bruise.
That's right. Yeah, right. Yeah, no doubt. And the better the plate fits, the better the plate will perform. It's now, one of the reasons I tell people not to do these backyard tests where they'll duct tape it to a tree or something, because that's not representative of the real world.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Okay, so then another major question that I think a lot of people have about these is, you know, the older plates were just seemingly solid steel, heavy, like crazy heavy, you know, and then your plates are seemingly insanely lightweight. I mean, they still have some thickness to them because that's necessary even using the poly material. But
yes,
the plates of yours that I'm familiar with are even buoyant. They float on water.
That is true. Yes, and we do have several plate options that are buoyant.
Yeah. So can you explain the state of the art of how did we go from heavy metal plates to your advanced polymer lamination layers? You know, how did that transition happen?
Well, interesting story how I came across it. So back in 2001, I was working with a gentleman who was a business partner of mine at the time, still a very good friend, Dr. Brian Grady, chemical and engineering professor at the University of Oklahoma. And he and I were exploring different ballistic solutions. And in the process, we came across some information related to a product called Spectra Shield. That's made by Honeywell. And essentially, you have two main players in the United States with regards to this type of armor material. You've got Honeywell and Dyneema. And essentially, both use a very high tensile strength fiber. It's called an ultra-high molecular weight polyethylene fiber.
Ah, yes. And they make fishing line out of that. They make high-strength survival lines, all kinds of things.
Even lines for gigantic ships to, you know, tie them up.
Yeah.
And they're able to do that with much smaller ropes in terms of diameter as compared to what they used to.
Yeah.
And it's that tensile strength, which is actually a result of the dense molecular chain. That's maybe a little too much science, but effectively, you've got these very strong polymer fibers. Now, polyethylene doesn't want to stick to anything but polyethylene. So what they do then is they apply these fibers in unidirectional rows onto a very thin sheet of high-density polyethylene. So it still has high-density molecular chains, but just not as dense as the ultra-high molecular weight polyethylene. So infusing the two together, you now have a platform that you can use to stack the material and press it under heat and high pressure, as I described before. And at the right temperature and the right process, effectively what you get is a crystallization, a bonding between layers, forming them into a cohesive sheet. Now, armor can be made out of just that, right? And you can do that in a number of different levels. You could do a level 3A, which would protect you against pistol threats all the way up to 44 Magnum. Or you can make it a little bit thicker and make a rifle-rated solution, but there are some limitations. There's pros and cons that need to be considered with all of these things. But in the case of an all-polymer plate, you can achieve what's called level 3 in a buoyant configuration, which would allow you, number one, very light. That's the stuff that's extremely light. We're talking a medium 10 by 12 plate being 3 pounds or less. And level 3 will stop 5.56, that's your AR-15, 7.62 by 39, that's your AK-47, and 308, all in there, what we call ball round configurations, lead core.
Okay. I have another question for you, yeah, about that.
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
But of course, and that also stops 9mm in most of the pistol rounds.
All lesser threats, yes.
Okay, yeah. Now, you mentioned that's ball ammo, so of course, some people have what is it, the green tip 855 rounds that are out there, and then there's also kind of hunting rounds for different kind of cartridges, you know, like the 7.62x51 hunting rounds, ballistic tips, expanding tips. How does that all factor into this?
So effectively, anytime that you have a steel core, technically you're going to need a ceramic component to defeat it. Now, oddly enough, in the case of the 7.62x39, you're able to stop that round with an all-polymer plate. It just has to do with the mass and the proportions of the round. It is standard at this point that a good level 3 polymer plate will also pick up that 7.62x39 mild steel core round. I believe that's the M1943 is the technical designation for that round. And anyways, those are not terribly common. They're either Russian or Chinese made.
That's like that Wolf ammo or Toll ammos type stuff.
Yep, absolutely. Yes.
Okay.
So, and you know, I'm sure that there's other manufacturers of it, but typically we see the M1943 coming from China or Russia.
Now, can I ask you? I'm sorry to interject, but our audience is very sophisticated. They know that the muzzle velocity of these rounds, of course, is at its maximum right when it leaves the barrel, and of course, the air friction causes the velocity of the bullet to slow quite rapidly. These are tested at sort of what standard range from the barrel?
The standard range is just about 50 feet.
Oh, okay, 50 feet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you're closer than 50 feet to a shooter, it's obviously it's going to have more kinetic energy, and it could, you know, it could defeat something that you that it's rated for, you know, theoretically. Is that correct?
Well, so not so much, right? Because we engineer these things in such a way as to defeat the round, the given round, at its worst, right? At its highest velocity. So we can dial these things in the lab just by way of making a round hotter, right? Adding more powder.
Right.
You know, so essentially the speed is measured at about the halfway point. And, you know, you're not going to lose a whole lot in velocity over that remaining 20 or 25 feet. But nonetheless, the spec sheets detail the velocities of every round and what they were tested at.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And all of those will exceed NIJ standards.
Okay. And by the way, a lot of people out there, a lot of especially criminals are running like illegal SBRs, so they have shorter barrels and they're going to have lower velocities anyway.
That's true. That is very true. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
One of the things with steel plates is not only do they fragment the round or cause spall that can be dangerous in itself, but you know, a round, just a standard ball round, 5.56 going fast enough, really faster than 2,700 feet per second, which is not hard to achieve, will penetrate a standard, you know, AR-500. I'm not calling the brand, but the type of steel, it'll punch through that type of plate. AR-600 steel will give you a little bit more protection. Essentially, you need to be going a little bit faster than 3,000 feet per second to penetrate that, but also still very achievable, even with an 18-inch barrel. But, of course, the longer the barrel, the easier it is to attain faster velocity.
Yeah, okay. That's really good technical information. Thank you for sharing all of that. And thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com and a proud owner of some Hoplite armor, I will say. So thank you for listening. Take care, everybody.